you are listening to Law and Gospel on this first day of August in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Tom Baker, and with me, because it's a Rumination Tuesday, is our good friend, Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing this bright August day?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Did you get your sleep last night?
Did I what?
Did you get your sleep last night?
From where?
Did you get a good night's sleep is what I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. I was asleep. How can you tell if you have a good night's sleep if you're sleeping?
Well, if you sleep soundly through the night.
I did have a great nightmare.
Oh, what was that?
I can't remember, but I was so happy. I love
nightmares. Oh, isn't that a great feeling when you wake up from a nightmare?
Oh, yeah. It was some kind of test I was taking.
Yeah. I've had those dreams.
Yeah. I had to get in the rest of the test. Had to take it out of the room and finish it. And I didn't know how to answer the questions. And then I woke up.
Yeah. You ever have those nightmares where all of a sudden you realize I've got to take the final exam and I've missed all the classes this year? Or all the classes is quarter or something like that. And all of a sudden you realize, I completely forgot about that class. That's a reoccurring nightmare with me.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, all the time. My wife says the same thing.
Actually, I did have something close to that where it was a class that I had to pass in order to get my graduate degree.
Yeah.
And I had forgot what day it was on and everything.
No, that wasn't a dream. That was reality.
No, that's seminary education. All right. Oh, living bread from heaven. We went to the internet to try and find one of them that would be singing, and none of them were singing. They were all just playing. So we're not going to be able to play that for you today. But it's a
Familiar melody.
Oh, yes. Well, now that you've said that and they can't hear it. Boy.
Let's see. We can hum it at least. Oh, living bread from heaven, how well you feed your guest. You know, that's familiar. It's pretty.
Yes. And who's it translated by?
Catherine Winkworth, our good friend from the 19th century.
Yes. And
she translated a lot of hymns. Bless her heart. There we go.
Yes. But I... In fact, read the words the next. How well you feed your guest.
Okay. How well you feed your guest. The gifts that you have given...
No, stay in line with the tune.
Have filled my heart with rest. O wondrous food of blessing. O cup that heals our woes. My heart, this gift possessing... With praises overflows.
Boy, that's very good.
Yeah, we ought to try that again sometime. It works.
Yes, it does. If we don't have the words. But we have to have the right tune.
Right.
But that was very excellent of you to say it is a well-known tune. When you first looked at it, you didn't realize that.
No. Well, no. I was thinking the old hymnal tune was not quite...
Oh, it's not the same?
No, it's no different.
Oh, okay. So, that's, what are we doing this? Well, we have coming up, what is it, the ninth Sunday?
Yeah, after ninth Pentecost? Sunday after Pentecost, this coming Sunday.
Right. And I did a thing on Monday about it out of the Old Testament. I really love this because I'm thinking of doing a seminar at Concordia Seminary. And the title will be How Most of the Bible Contradicts Lutheran Theology.
That's going to raise some eyebrows, Tom.
Okay, so do you agree with Jesus when he tells the rich man to get into heaven, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me?
No, but he was giving him law.
No, but people don't understand that.
Yeah.
When they read that, that sounds like that's a contradiction of Lutheran theology.
He was helping him to realize there's no way you could ever merit
heaven. Yeah, but he doesn't say
heaven.
That. He doesn't say that. That's
Well, you have to interpret the clear in light of the, or the unclear in light of the clear.
Very good. Or the Sermon on the Mount. He goes
Another
through
example.
All the commandments, and then you'll be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect.
That's a law sermon, right?
Yeah, but that's another contradiction of Lutheran theology when people take that literally.
Right.
See, that's where the problem is. In fact, I've been at Trinity Lutheran now a year in preaching on Sundays, and every Sunday so far I have found what appears to be a contradiction to Lutheran theology in the readings.
Okay. All right.
Well, for example,
I could just hear the disclaimer after this program. We apologize for the...
No, there is no apology, because all over the place it seems to contradict Lutheran theology if you don't use...
Seems to.
Yeah, if you don't use the proper distinctions between law and gospel.
Right.
For example, this Sunday he says, come by water and bread and milk.
Yes. Without price, right?
Well, how can you buy something without price? Do we buy our way into heaven?
No.
See, but a lot of people interpret that when it says that.
Well, that's why you're supposed to preach.
That's a very good point. Because, and that's what we do on Wednesdays with Insight Wednesday. We pick up a task or a text that just doesn't seem to make any sense from a Lutheran point of view and then show how it still is. Yeah, I had an elders meeting last night, and we started off with the, it was Formula Concord on the third use of the law. And I was pointing out that we have the very same problem today, because the two sides were like this. The good side was the third use of the law is the law in the Bible telling us what God's will is.
Right.
The bad side was that now that we are free from the law, we don't have to follow the will of God, as explained in the Bible. And so, therefore, homosexuality is okay, abortion's okay, all these things are okay.
Obviously, that's we don't hold to that.
Many people do. In fact, most of the country does.
Yeah.
And you have an entire denomination that does. Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. That's precisely that they deny the third use of the law, saying that... No. And they'll say such things like, well, Jesus never spoke out against homosexuality, as though Jesus had nothing to do with the book of Leviticus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He wrote it all.
So, living bread from heaven, Jesus himself uses that metaphor, doesn't he?
Yes.
What does he say?
I'm the bread of life.
Yes, the bread of life. Now, you know... Luther does a pretty good thing, give us this day our daily bread. He moves into all kinds of areas that the bread means, even good government, good weather.
Good health.
Good health.
Discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like, right?
Exactly. And because the word bread means more than a loaf of bread. Have you ever been walking down the street and a peddler comes up to you and says, have you got any bread?
Yes.
He's not expecting you to pull out a slice of bread from your pocket.
He's wanting money.
Money, yeah. Bread stands for money in many, many cultures.
That's right.
And so when we talk about Jesus as the living bread from heaven, how well you feed your guest. Now... In the Old Testament reading where it talks about come and buy milk and bread without price, I said, how do you buy it? And verse 3 talked about that you buy it by hearing. So the point I was going to make was that the title of my sermon would have been something like, you buy with your ears. Because when you hear the word of God and you accept it, in fact, we even have a prayer where it says that we inwardly
digest it.
Exactly.
Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest his word.
That's wonderful. Because it's the metaphor of eating, and God doesn't have any problem with understanding that when you hear the word. Remember Romans It says, you come to faith.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Exactly. So this gentleman, his name is Johann Rist, died in 1667. I never heard of him. But our good translator that we like is?
Catherine Winkworth.
Yes. So, O living bread from heaven, how well you feed your guests. The gifts that you have given have filled my heart with rest. So what gifts does he give?
Forgiveness of sins.
Exactly.
Life and salvation.
Yes, and comfort
right.
All the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And then, oh, wondrous food of blessing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I. You go ahead.
Oh, okay. Wondrous food of blessing, oh, cup that heals our woes. What's that talking about?
Now, that's talking, I think, specifically about not just the gospel, but about the Lord's Supper.
I think you're right. Because the wondrous food would go back to the living bread, and cup that heals our woes, you know, that's what Paul talks about, that we receive the cup. They call that metonymy. You remember what that means?
Where, let's see, metonymy is what you talk about one thing. No,
It's referring to, like when it says the cup.
Yeah.
Metonymy is really what's contained in the cup.
Right, right. Yeah.
And my heart this gift possessing with praises overflows. Now, this is really important. We're possessing it by our heart. What would that be referring to, you think?
My heart this gift possessing. That's eternal life, forgiveness of sins.
Right, but what's the heart refer to?
The faith of our heart, right?
Right, but where did we get that heart?
Oh, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit.
Right. Psalm 51.
Psalm 51. Yes.
Create
in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Right. And that's the heart that this gift possessing and with praises overflows. You see, in the Old Testament, even the high priest never had this experience of receiving the very body and blood of Christ.
That's right. Think of that.
Yes. Yeah.
None of the Old Testament prophets.
Exactly.
I've often said, you know, that what would they have given to partake of the Lord's Supper as the great privilege and blessing that we have in the New Testament?
And it's not just the priests that do it in the sense of ministers or pastors. It's any layperson.
Right.
And I tell them that unless you are perfectly sinless in God's sight, don't come forward.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, I think.
Yes.
But you have to explain yourself.
The key thing is in God's sight.
Exactly.
And so, once again, Lutheran theology goes against our experience, because if you talk to anybody in a congregation and you say, who do you think is the most sinless in your congregation? You know, some people actually say the pastor, but some will say certain members, and they miss the whole point.
And a lot of people, some people will stay away from the Lord's Supper because they feel, I'm just a poor, miserable, I'm a miserable sinner.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why they should come to the Lord's table.
It's like somebody, and I've said this before, gets hit by a car in the street, has a bloody leg, the ambulance comes, says, no, I've been to that emergency room, it's really clean, let me go home and wash up and then I'll go over.
Right.
Refusing to take the Lord's Supper is refusing to use the emergency room when you have a bad accident.
Exactly.
Yes. Because people, you really hit it on the head. That's kind of the foundation of why we take the Lord's Supper. What do we do in every service that has the Lord's Supper? What do we also make sure we have?
Confession and absolution.
Exactly. And every now and then, I would use the Matins, but then for the Lord's Supper. And after I was done, like the sermon, we would return to either page 5 or 15 with the confession of sin, absolution, then move into the Lord's Supper. All right, stanza 2.
My Lord, you here have led me to this most holy place, and with yourself have fed me the treasures of your grace. For you have freely given what earth could never buy, the bread of life from heaven, that now I shall not die. Now here, I think it might be a little bit more broad than
the Lord's Supper.
Yes. I think he's talking here about the gospel.
Yes. The bread of life from heaven, that now I shall not die. There's a phrase there. It says, what earth could never buy, and yet the Old Testament reading says, come and buy these things
without money,
without price. Yeah, I mentioned that in a Bible study. I said, yeah, did you hear Dierbergs? For 1 hour on Wednesday, they're not going to have any prices out, and you can buy whatever you want without any money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, see how ridiculous that sounds? That's not possible in any other religion. You have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
By your works, by your deeds, by bowing down to Mecca so many times, or, you know, it's just really ridiculous how people just can't imagine that we're saved by grace. And therefore, when they use the word grace, they're not referring to God's attitude, but rather some power source that they can use to make themselves look better in God's eyes. And that's so sad. I'll read 3. You gave me all I wanted, this food can death destroy, and you have freely granted the cup of endless joy. My Lord, I do not merit the favor you have shown, and all my soul and spirit bow down before your throne. Now, that last part is really Lutheran. The favor you have shown, I do not merit.
Right.
Yeah, I always say the difference is, in every other religion, you merit salvation. In Christianity, you inherit salvation. However, there's a phrase here, you gave me all I wanted. And in fact, we talked about this concept last night at the Bible study. It was an adult instruction. Yeah, I had an adult instruction yesterday. And what we were talking about is the Bible verse that says, whatever you wish, God will grant you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you've got to explain that, of course.
So how would you explain that? Well, you gave me all I wanted.
It's not a blank check. I mean, it's all we wanted in Christ.
Excellent, excellent. And so let's expand on that a little bit. Anytime you ask God for something, there's always two kinds of prayers. The one kind is you're asking for a promise to be kept. On that one, you just ask. Like
that's right.
When you baptize an infant, we don't pray, and may
if
we pray that that child will receive faith. He's already promised
it. Exactly. We already know it's his will.
We thank him. But when you're asking for something that's not in the Bible and is not a promise, what do you always add?
Earthly treasures and things like that. You always say, if it be thy will, Lord.
Exactly. And how does God respond to that? He says, yes, it will be according to my will. And see, what we want, you gave me all I wanted, is if that's in the prayer, that's what we want.
We want
it according to his will.
We don't want him to give us anything that's not his will.
Right. A lot of times you're asking for things, they're not necessarily against his will.
Right.
But for some reason he doesn't permit it.
That's right. We submit to his wishes.
Yeah.
We know he wants what's best for us.
Yeah, you might be having your eyes looking at a particular car you want, but when you get there, your FICO score just isn't good enough, so you have to go to a lesser car. It wasn't against his will that you get the better car, but it became his will to give you the other one and such like that. Subaru. Have you ever seen those advertisements
for
that car?
Yeah. Let's see, what is it? They tie love into it, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone ties love into it, yes.
Yeah, the way they do it is a child is growing up and he wants this, and his father says, no, you can't have that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they want something else, you can't have that.
You're not getting that.
No.
You're not taking that.
And then the son is older and he calls to his mother and says,
I'm taking the Subaru.
Yeah, I'm taking the Subaru. And she says, well, be back by 9. It's really
good.
He's
a young guy. Looks like he's 14 years old.
Yeah, I know.
She doesn't stop him.
See, I would love to, if I had the money, to do things like that. And as soon as he drives out of the driveway, he hits a parked car.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I love to really take a look at these crazy commercials and say, here's what I would like to do, and do something that's kind of comical. But there's nothing, I don't think, about a Subaru that keeps you more alive than other cars. They do have side bags, too, but there are cars that have that. Now there's cars where you can sit in the back seat.
And have those...
They drive you.
No, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just made them legal in a certain state. I can't remember which one it was. But... And I tell you, with the cameras on the cars, they slow down automatically. You know, they're really pretty good. All right. Stanza four.
Lord, grant me then, thus strengthened, with heavenly food while here. My course on earth is lengthened to serve with holy fear. And when you call my spirit to leave this world below, I enter through your merit where joys unmingled flow.
I like that because it contradicts the first verse, or the previous one, that we do not merit the favor. But then I enter into your kingdom through your merit, where joys unmingled flow. But again, we seem to have a little contradiction here. If you talk to any other people in a religion and they get to really love their God, they wouldn't say, yeah, I love to serve him with holy fear. Because fear sounds like the opposite of love. So how do we explain that?
Well, it's like in all of our commandments, we should fear and love God.
That's right.
Where the fear means that, you know, we have an awesome God. We have a God that could destroy us.
That's
in
exactly
a moment.
Right. Yes.
And yet, and we're mindful of the fact that, you know, we're held in his hand. Our life is in his hand. Our eternity is in his hand.
The fear comes about by the law. The more you hear the law, I mean, these people who think, yeah, I obey the commandments pretty well, they need to hear more of the law.
That's right.
To show, oh, by thought and word, you're obeying them? I mean, I even had a lady on, it was a different radio station, and she would argue with me that thoughts weren't sins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were put in the head by Satan.
No, we confess that by thought, word
and deed. Yes. Yes.
You know, not only thoughts, but our words.
Yes, even words and deeds. And that's why it's really important. Oh, I had a question yesterday.
Well, even the government tries to, you know, they talk about hate crimes.
Yeah, that's not normally when you say something, you have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're still talking about your thoughts.
Yeah, but then right. You don't get punished for them.
No.
No. Here was a question that came up, and I wasn't sure how to answer it. I'll just share that there's a, not a member of the congregation, but she put a tattoo, a cross on her. And the question is, when she gets to heaven, will she still have that tattoo?
You're asking me?
Well, yeah. I'll give you a hint. I didn't know the answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if I said, well, if it's a tattoo honoring Satan, I'm pretty sure that's gone.
Yeah.
But, and then one of the members in the class said, well, that's how she's marked as one saved, because she had that. And I don't know. I'm quite sure if you're missing a limb, you're going to have all your limbs.
Yeah.
And no sickness, no death. No. But it was kind of an interesting question I never thought about before. Now, I'm not into tattoos at all.
No, I'm not either.
No.
Or piercings.
Yeah. I like watching the wrestling they have. But boy, they're all so tattooed.
Yeah.
I'm always for the guy who has no tattoos on. Where are you preaching this Sunday?
Preaching at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. We have a service for, Saturday evening at 5 p.m. if you can't make Sunday, and Sunday morning at 9.
At 9. And then there's a Bible study after?
Bible study afterward. We're studying the book of Isaiah.
Oh, that's going to be a while.
Yes. But we're moving along. We're already in the 10th or 11th chapter.
Yes. Well, what is there, over 50?
Yes, but we've got time,
but
hopefully.
There's plenty in there to study.
That's right.
I'm Tom Baker with Pastor Mark Smith today and our usual Rumination Tuesday. God willing, we'll be back next Tuesday. The Tuesday after that, I won't be here, so you'll have to take over by yourself.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll work that out. Until then, tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.